would. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Thank you again for being here in God's house. It's been a blessing to see our church. I told the men in men's prayer breakfast this last Saturday. Most of the time, we will have, Lord willing, a men's prayer breakfast in October as well, usually the first Saturday of the month. We might even have a men's prayer dinner. If we do, we change it to a Friday night, but we'll let you know if that happens. But I was telling them yesterday what one of the encouraging things of going through the difficulties we have in the last 4 years is our attendance hasn't bottomed out. Praise God. I've seen churches just get destroyed when they have problems. The thing that's different from our church and a lot of other churches, we are made up with toys from the, you know, that Lost Island, the Misfit toys. That's a makeup of our church, so we're going to have problems all the time. No, I'm joking with you, but it is a blessing to see that we still run around 80. I'd still love to see our church grow, and I had people ask me, well, why do you just want numbers for? Numbers mean people. Each number that, I don't have numbers on my piece of paper. Dentist just goes around and goes click, 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 and hands me a little piece of paper that says how many people we have here, but I write your name down. So to me, you're a person, you're not a number. To Dennis, you're just a number. But to me, you're a person. So anyways, no, he's just doing the clicker thing. So every time you hear click, that means you. Romans 9, if you would, please. We're going to look at one verse. We're not going to be in Romans anymore the rest of the message, but I want to speak to you today of It's Out of My Control. That's the title. My introduction is long. My message is short. Do you want me to just go to the message? No. But it's important. If you would, verse 20. Romans 9, verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Heavenly Father, help me now. Give me strength and wisdom. Give me the words to say, Lord. May I bring honor and glory to thee in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. There are many events. Now, I was just talking to a Christian this morning and a member of the church and having issues in life. And I know the person well enough to say this to him. I try to read people and try to watch what they're doing in their lives. It helps me identify what kind of person. But a very, very studious, very control. How many of you can lift your hand like this young man did? How many can lift your hand and say, I like to be in control? Okay, I see a lot of wives' hands up. So, I'm getting in trouble all day today. Sunday school class, I got in trouble. Might as well keep it going. All I'm saying is this: I'm that way. I like to be. I was a captain, and I was a troublemaker in grade school. Troublemakers are someone that wants to be noticed. Wants everybody to know they're there. I was a captain in all the teams in the sports. When I was in sports, I led the PE class in its physical exercises. I had my own business. I wanted to be a foreman. I told my boss when I went up to applied for my first job as a carpenter, he said, what do you see in your future? I said, sitting at that desk. He goes, what? I said, I want your job. I don't want to swing a hammer all my life. I want to one day tell someone to swing a hammer. Amen. And so, the Lord called me to preach, and now I'm in charge of the Island of Misfit Toys. Sorry, Santa's on his way. He'll take us too. Amen. All I'm saying is this: a lot of people like that be in control, but I found out in life, and I told this young man, you can't control everything. I mean, there's events in our lives we can't control. I don't know about anybody else, but I think 2020 election would have came off a little different for most of us sitting here if we had control of it. Amen? I mean, if I had control of it, there wouldn't be too many people in the White House. I mean, if we had control, I'd put Jesus there. Amen? I'd find a retired Baptist preacher with a lot of experience of being a husband and a businessman behind that desk in the Oval Office, not one of these nut people that they come up with. Oh, me. And, you know, we got to be careful. Sometimes we vote pocketbook or money instead of morals. But there's many events that I have little to control over at all. Sometimes I have some, but very little. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans 14:12. I don't know about you. We have to give an account of our lives. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my life seems out of control. How about you? I found out one of the comforting things as a pastor, after I found out that I can't make you folks do anything. You know, if it was up to me, you wouldn't miss a church service. You'd be tithers. You'd read your Bible all the time. You'd be soul winners. Our church would be so big, we'd have to open the windows. We'd have to close in that front porch first and have open up that wall and make it another sitting area. We'd have to do that same thing in the back. I have to add on. I already have the print, blueprints for adding on to this area here to build the school bigger. I want to close in the basketball court and make it a school and an institute as well as a place when we have plays. I don't have to tear it down and build it up. I could put a play out there, all of the props out there, and we can have 400 or 500 people sitting there with a cafeteria and showers for the sports people, basketball court, tennis court. That's what I want. Why isn't it done? Not everybody comes to every service. Not everybody tithes. Not everybody's soul wins. Come on, amen. I can't make you do anything. That's the comforting part of it. I can't make you do anything. That's a frustrating thing. But also, the comfort is you got to give an account for you. I got to give an account for me. So we're going to look at some things that are out of our control. First of all, if you would, Job chapter 12, the book of Job in chapter 12. We're going to be in Job for the first point and start with the second point. But that great, great, great man that had such an easy life. Job, if you would, please, in chapter 12. The Bible says in Job chapter 12, verse 20, it says this. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. So the first thing we have to see here, and this is a thing that I could probably ask and get a lot of different questions, and that is our entrance into this life. Our entrance. I don't know about you, but I would love to be 6'2", about 220 pounds, have 30-inch biceps and 32-inch thighs and be able to run the mile in under 4 and run the 100-yard dash in under 9. But I'm 5'8 and a half, weigh 155 pounds, and I can't do any of those other things. I did run a 450 mile once, and at 64 years of age, I ran a 6-minute mile. But I am slow. Man alive, when it comes to speed, man, from here to that door, I'll beat all of you, but the other side of the porch, you'll all beat me. I don't know what happens between 30 and 60 yards, but I lose all my speed. I have a quickness that gets me there in 30 to 40. You know, if they did 40-yard dashes in football, I'd do pretty good. If they stretch it out to 60, everybody would beat me. They'd have to do it in days instead of minutes or seconds. And so all I'm saying is this. All of us would think something different. Come on. Amen. How about your height? How about not only your height, how about your hair? I was talking to a young lady the other day. I walk up there, and she had this beautiful black hair, and it was straight. I looked at her, I said, she's about 25. I says, you're not supposed to do this, but we have time. We're waiting on an order to come through. I said, I bet your hair when you were born was curly, and I bet it was a different color than black. She goes, how did you know? Because let's admit it, ladies, some of you here today that Clairol or Revlon, I don't know what it's called, is your favorite place to go to because you don't like your hair color. Am I right? How come no one's saying amen, ladies? It's one of those things you don't ask. You know what your weight is for a woman? You don't ask a woman her weight, her age, or is that your natural hair color? And the last one is, are you expecting a baby? You could get in trouble by three of them, and the fourth one, you could get killed. So, But let's just be honest. Guys, I don't know about you. I wish I still had all my hair. I just want hair. I don't care what color it is. Other than pink. I don't want pink hair. Please, Lord, don't give me pink. I don't think it's a color in God's hue. But let's just be honest. The Bible says we can't even number our hair. If we can add hair, we try. Oh, come on, ladies. You color your hair. You say, see, I can control my color. 2 weeks later, you're using touch-up. And when you go to church, you get the makeup that matches your hair. Right? Why? Because you're not happy. If you wanted it, you would want hair a certain color, curly if you want curly, straight if you want straight, all your life and it never change. Am I right? It just don't work that way. We don't get to choose. Come on, you could try. You could do everything. I've even seen men. I had a pastor friend of mine from Canada. What is wrong with those Canadians? Right, Brother Rose? What's wrong with them Canadians? This Canadian preacher, he's not Canadian, he's from Indiana. Well, that's about as bad. But I just tease him. Come from Missouri. We give each other a hard time. But anyway, I saw him. He asked me to do some work, and I went there and did work. And he's like me. He's 2 years older than me. So we both have gray hair, about the same height, and both in construction. He was a painter, and I was a carpenter. He had covered my mistakes. But anyway, so I go to his job doing the work. I went back about a month later, and he was blackheaded. Whole black. And I started laughing. He goes, what? I says, what happened to you? Did your wife drag you into the beauty shop? And he goes, I don't want my kids to have an old man. It don't matter what color your hair is, you're still old. I said, did you see the rest of you? They don't need to see the hair to make you old or not. I mean, come on. Hey, we can't do it. Our hair, the amount, the style, whatever, the color, our heritage. Man, I don't know about you. I would love to have been married to a billionaire. I don't mind having a silver spoon, but I'd probably be a brat like the rest of them. But you know what? You can't choose your family. You can sit there and change your name. You can even change whether you're a boy or a girl. And guess what? Everybody's going to know what you are. You can't change it. It would be neat if we could fix it. I am sick and tired of this race junk. Aren't you? God is colorblind. And if he made you black, you're black. If he made you half black and half white, you're half black and half white. If he made you Hispanic, you're Hispanic. Even if you don't look like one. I tease him all the time. He goes, I'm Hispanic, you know. I know whatever it is. Listen, folks, what I'm trying to say is, why are we arguing with God? Why are we trying to control what God gave us? But we try to. We spend a lot of our time and a lot of finances, a lot of research trying to fix what God made. Oh, me? Now, look at chapter 9, if you would, please, of the same book, chapter 9. Chapter 9, if you would, please. Same book. Look at verse 12. I got to be careful. I don't get too hepped up on this. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Look at verse 22. This is one thing. Therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. And if you go to chapter 21, he talks about something else. First of all, we see our entrance, but secondly, our exit, our death. All die. I was told by a doctor, as soon as you're born, your body starts decaying. It grows, you know, but it's actually decaying. It's dying. We all die. We're all going to die someday. That's not a scare. That's a fact. We're all going to die someday, and after that, the judgment, the Bible says. We all age. You don't believe me? Turn the lights on. You'll figure it out real quick. I wish I could do the things I used to do the way I used to do it. I could still do all the work that I did when I was 19, but it takes longer and takes longer to recover than when I did it when I was younger. I'm aging. I look in the mirror, I see it. I see things I don't like to see. I have to work harder to maintain. We all age and we can't help that. We all ache. So not only all die, all age, and all ache. We ache. You're going to suffer. In this world ye shall have tribulation. We're going to have aches and pains. Why in America do we think, I don't know if you knew this, most drugs use is America. That's prescription as well as illegal. Isn't that sad? We use more drugs. Now, part of it is because we can afford it because we're an affluent country, but we don't like pain. Anybody remember the old doctors? You know, the old country doctors, you go up to them and say, Doc, when I do this, it hurts. What's their prescription? Don't do that. Don't do that. Here's another one. My dad used to do this. I'd get knocked down by my brother. I'd get up, my legs hurt, and he'd go, say, Dad, what do I do? He goes, anybody know? Walk it off. That was the prescription when I was a kid. Walk it off. My dad would say, is it bleeding? Put a Band-Aid on it. If it's broke, straighten it up. Seriously, my dad used to go over there, and if I had a finger that was out of joint, my finger would go a couple times, it would be out like this. He'd go over there and go, there, it's fixed. Go back to work. Today, we'd go down, we'd have to take antibiotics. We'd have to get some fancy brace that is basically just plastic and tape, and it costs $200. That's just for that. That's not the visit. Why do you think them doctors have 3, 4, 5 homes and drive around in Mercedes and Escalades and all that? Why do you think they do that? Because they're making money off us because we get aches and pains. And we don't like pain. And everybody that's been in sports knows this. No pain. It's the same thing in the spiritual world. But we complain because we don't have any control. Wouldn't it be nice that you could jump off a building, land and roll, and get up and run a mile and get home and go, what's next? Don't work like that. Come on, you stub your toe, you scream. We just don't like pain, but it's going to happen. It's death. Not only that, look at, if you would, Proverbs 27. I'm almost done. I'm almost ready for my message. Proverbs 27, if you would. Message is simple, but I got to have this introduction because sometimes we forget these things. Proverbs 27, if you would, please. The book of Proverbs. And I'm in Psalm. That's not going to help me at all. I better get to Proverbs 27. Okay, why am I in Psalms 4? It looked good. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. Oh, events, the day. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, I don't know about you. Some of you talk about being in control. Every morning I get up in the morning, I take a piece of paper, and I'd come to the church, sit on my desk. I have pieces of paper, slips of paper, or scrap paper. I just cut them. On one side, it's got other stuff on it, but on one side, the other side, it's blank. And I write my daily schedule out. I sit down and write down everything in order of priority, what needs to be done that day. You say, preacher, do you ever get it all done? Sometimes. Sometimes I don't, and I take whatever it's not done and put it on the next day's schedule. And figure it out. But you know what? That's my plan for today. The Lord says do all things decent and in order. But whose order? Yeah, His order. Because He may look down there where I say make visits. And He goes, no, you're not going to make visits. You're going to put a ceiling in for the Gonos. Amen? You're going to take your wife to Mary's Ann's house to deliver some food. That wasn't on my schedule. Come on, amen? But the Lord says, no, I get a phone call and one of the members is in the hospital and wants me to come and have prayer because they might die. I didn't have that. Listen, I know some of you bother me, but I've never asked the Lord to kill you. Knock some sense in you, but not kill you. But no, haven't done that yet. And all I'm trying to say is events, the weather. If you're in construction, weather does something. And we need to understand that. And I don't know about you, some of you planned day trips. My wife and I once planned to go down to Ruby Beach. Anybody know how long it takes to get from here to Ruby Beach? 2.5-3 hours. We got down there, I could not see you. The fog was so thick from here. And it stayed that way for an hour. I said, let's just walk around, see if it clears up. Nah. Got in the car, drove 3 hours back. So 6 hours for an hour of foggy beach. I planned it that way. Don't think so. Come on, amen. I planned sunshine, seeing my wife happy. The Lord said, no, she's going to be unhappy today because I'm giving. Lord says in Matthew 5:45, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. God doesn't sit there and go, I'm going to cater to your every need. People. The Lord talked about in the book of Luke chapter 10 about who's my neighbor. And the Lord goes, I tell you, listen, there's this man walking around and he's on a field. And all of a sudden he gets attacked by thieves. He gets beaten up and he's cast aside. And the Levite comes. Well, that should have been a good sign. No, he passes on the other side. He doesn't go over there. The Pharisee comes, looks at him, then goes on the other side. Finally, a Samaritan, a half-breed, goes over there, looks at him. Goes to him, looks at him, takes care of him, puts him on his own animal. I was going to say ass, but the kids would start laughing. And take him to an inn and say, take care of him. If it costs more, I'll take care of it when I get back. Am I right? I don't know about you. There's people show up in your life that you have to meet needs. According to James chapter 4, the Bible says you get up in the morning, you say, hey, today I'm going to go do this and that. And the Lord goes, hold on a second. I'm the maker. There isn't a person here that started a job thinking it was going to end in a certain amount of hours and it took longer hours. It's going to cost a certain amount and it ended up costing more. Bought a device, whatever it is, or appliance, and it's got a 2-year warranty, and 2 years and 1 day later, do I need to repeat or say what's going to happen after that? Or you call them and say, that part's not covered on the warranty. Well, what part is the side that says warranty? That's what I said that once to somebody. Happenings. Lastly, if you would please, in chapter 12, the lastly meaning in my introduction, the book of Daniel, chapter 12. You're in Proverbs, go to Daniel chapter 12. See, the problem is we think we have control of things. We think we could just dictate God. We could tell God, you know, this is what I'm going to be. I had someone tell me once, I'm a self-made man. I said, boy, you do bad work. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. One of the most frustrating things as a Christian when I got saved is talking to people about eternity. Our eternity, our forever. I have people tell me a lot of times, well, I'll decide where I go. Well, that's not true. Who decides where you go is God. He's your maker. And God the maker says, you have Christ, you have eternal life. You have not Christ, you have eternal death. God decided that. You can't say, well, I want to not accept Christ, but I'm going to go to heaven. You say, preacher, people don't do that. Do you know how many religions are in the world that have made up heavens or a way to get to heaven? You know how many churches are in Squim that do not preach that salvation is by grace through faith and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God? Come on. You know how many churches that preach that you work your way to heaven? You know how many churches we have in our city that believe that you can buy your way into heaven? Oh, man. God says, my salvation is more precious than that. Don't corrupt it with vain things of silver and gold or traditions of men. My salvation is worth more. I gave you my son, who died for your sins and rose again. That's a payment of your sins, not silver and gold. But we have churches around here. Life or death, we find in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 24 through 29. You choose either life or death, contempt
or glory in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Are you going to die in contempt and you're going to just fade away? I had someone say, well, you're just going to be annihilated. You're just going to be worm food and that's it if you don't know Christ. Not according to the Scriptures. They preach that so they don't scare anybody. There is a hell and there is a lake of fire and there is a death that separates you from God forever. Shame and honor. I don't know about you. The Bible says not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into my home. Amen. For many shall come and say, have we not done many marvelous works? He goes, I never knew you. Whoa, I don't want that. I want to hear, come on in. Amen. Enter into thy rest, thy good and faithful servant. Now my message. It's going to be 5 minutes. Are you ready? That was my introduction. I can't control any of that. How about you? Not a bit of it. So here's my message, very simply. I may not be in control of my being alive. I don't have the control of who what I look like, what kind of person, where I was born, what family I was born in. I was born a male. I hate people that don't want to be a male. Why would you want to be a woman? Ladies, I love women. When I was a little kid, I thought, boy, those things are cute. My dad says they have cooties. I didn't even know what a cootie was. At 12 years of age, I asked a 15-year-old girl to be my date. And she goes, you're cute, but no. So that was my first response for my first asking someone out for a date. It was my brother's girlfriend, and I thought she was cute. Her name was Nikki Lynn, which is my daughter's name. I figured if I can't have her, I can name a girl after her. That was my first love. What I thought. I think girls are great, but I don't want to be one. I want to kiss one, but I don't want to be one. But these people are weird. Amen? I may have control of my being, but listen to this. But I can control, here's the message, how I live. I can control that. I can do that. Bible says to have temperance. That's point number one. Point number two. I may not know when or how I will die. I don't know when that's going to happen or how. If it's through being in the ocean on a boat and swimming, you better check on it. Somebody killed me because I'm not going to be doing that. But I can make sure that when I die, it will be known that I left good behind. Number three, I have no control of the events of tomorrow, but I can set my course to glorify God. I can say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In good events or in bad events, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to glorify His name. Lastly, I will live forever somewhere. That I know. So I choose heaven. I choose Christ. See, I don't have control over everything, but I do have control over my choices. I get up in the morning. I don't have control of how the day is going to be, but I choose to be happy. I choose to glorify God. Amen? No matter what happens, I may scream, holler, you may hear me from Port Angeles, yell at a stupid hammer because it's not working the way I want it to. But I'm going to be happy when you see me. Why? I got a great God. And I'm going to tell you, I choose Him. So question you have to ask yourself. You don't have control over everything. That's true. But what choices will you make? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love for us. I do again, I thank You for the Word of God. What a blessing it is to have a Bible in front of us till we can read, we can grow, we can understand. It doesn't have to be rocket science. It can be very simple. We can't look up at God and say, why did you make me this? Why are you putting me through this? But we can make choices. We can say, I want to live a life that glorifies God. I want to choose Christ. I want to choose heaven. I don't want to choose eternity in a lake of fire. Help us make right choices this morning. There's some here that don't know you as their personal Savior. And they need to come down and say, Pastor, I need Christ as my Savior. I want to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and come to my heart and save me. They may need to come down and say, Pastor, I'm saved by grace on my way to heaven. I know it without a shadow of doubt. I want to get baptized, join the church, get involved. I want to be the Christian that God wants me to be. Maybe there's a believer here, saved, baptized, member of the church, this church over another like faith church, and they'd say, come down an old-fashioned altar and say, God help me. I'm not living a life. I'm making bad choices. I'm just running around almost like a boat without any oars or motor in it, no compass. I need you, Lord. Help me guide my life. Help me to make right choices in my life. May this be a time, Lord, that we take a bit of control of our day and our lives by making choices that glorify you today.